Some of you, when I walked up here, got very excited. Some of you got very nervous. By the end of our time together this morning, some of you may flip sides on that. For those of you who have never met me, my name is Ethan Allen, and Holly and I and our family have been calling the Well Church of the Nazarene home for probably the last couple of years, getting close, somewhere in there. And we have loved every minute of it. And so I am excited and privileged to be with you this morning, getting to share. Some of that excitement comes from just, I love doing this. I love being up here. I love sharing. When Pastor Brian asked me to be a part of this team doing Advent, you know, maybe some other teachings down the line, depending on how today goes, I looked at him, and we were sitting at lunch, and I was like, Pastor, I appreciate the vote of confidence, I really do, but you've never heard me preach. He looks at me, and he's like, well, you pastored a church before. Like, well, yeah, but I ended up shutting it down. And he's like, it'll work out. And so we're going to see this morning if it works out or not. But I am super excited also because of the topic I get to talk about this morning, which is something I think we all innately want, which is some level of peace in this world. You know, it's the second week of Advent. It's the week about peace. And so we're just calling this kind of unwrapping peace, because that's really what I want to do this morning, is I kind of want to unwrap and unpackage peace a little bit, because I think it can be difficult to fully understand and to fully comprehend. I think the world has a very different understanding of peace than we as believers may have. Quite honestly, I think you and I may have very different understandings of peace. We all kind of have this idea in our head of what peace looks like. In your home, it might be, well, we sit down in front of a warm fire, we're eating snacks, and we're all singing Kumbaya. For me, peace is, hey, did we make it through the night without somebody crying? And by somebody, I mean me. And so we have these different understandings, the different ideas of what peace looks like. And so I kind of want to get into it a little bit. What does Scripture tell us that peace looks like? But before we do that, I went to the resident theologian, Google, on what the definition, the English definition of peace is, and it brings up freedom from disturbance and tranquility. That's an okay definition. But for me, when I hear that, when I hear freedom from disturbance, when I hear tranquility, I think of moments. I think of moments of clarity. That it's not sustainable, because we're never fully free of disturbances. You know, we live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world. Tranquility, I mean, I can't sit beside a rustling stream every day. And so it's these moments of clarity. And don't get me wrong, those moments of clarity, they serve a purpose in our life. They can actually be life-saving. I'll tell you a story about something I went through. And this is not because I'm cool, but this is just the moment that I really started thinking about what does peace mean. I was working at a bank, and I was working as a teller, and that was probably, what, Holly, like 7 or 8 jobs ago? You laugh because you think I'm joking. But I was working at a bank, and it was a busier day. We had a line. It was me, another teller, and a banker was up there. And this young guy comes up to me, nothing out of the ordinary. We had all kinds of customers in the branch I was working in. And he comes up, and I say, hey, how can I help you? And he shows me his phone. And so I'm like, oh, okay. I read the phone. It says, I have a bomb in my book bag. Give me $20,000 in $20 bills. And then he takes his phone away, a little too fast for me. But I was like, I'm in the middle of a bank robbery. Now, I was 80% sure this kid was not smart enough to build a bomb. I could not risk the other 20%. And so after this initial, like, rush of, came over me, I had a moment of clarity. I had such a moment of clarity that I actually asked this nice bank robber to show me the note again to make sure that I was giving him the right amount. And he did. Didn't say a word to me. And so as I'm getting, and such a moment of clarity that as I'm getting the money ready and I had kind of hit my silent alarm, one of the bankers had gotten a call from security, that's kind of how it worked, came up to the counter, stood probably this far away from the guy robbing me, and asked, who triggered their alarm? I could feel my eyes go. And in that moment, this tranquility came over me. Don't worry about it. We're just doing a large withdrawal. And then so I give him exactly what he wants. He leaves the bank, and the alarm's still hit, and the bankers come over to me, and they're like, hey, you need to pull out your false alarm and stuff. I'm like, guys, I don't think you understand. We actually did just get robbed. And then their eyes went. And so I had this moment of peace, this moment of clarity, and really where that came down to was I took this moment and realized I had one purpose, and that was to get home safely. And so when we focus, when we get down to this moment, one of my favorite TV shows is called SEAL Team. I don't know if you guys ever watched it, but it's about special forces, and they say that when they're on a mission, their world becomes 3 foot by 3 foot, that nothing else outside of that matters until they get home. And so my world became 3 foot by 3 foot. But then afterwards, obviously, the world is still there. The terrible circumstances are still there. And so that type of moment doesn't ring as peace for me. What I think we're looking for as believers, what I think we're looking for as people of God, is that true, sustainable peace. That peace that goes beyond all understanding, that peace that no matter what is going on around us, the circumstances we're facing, that internally we can be at peace. And when I dig into the Greek, that should scare you, because I don't do that very often, but Pastor Brian's rubbing off on me. When I dig into the Greek, the word for peace most commonly used is eirene. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right, but is a Greek translation of the Hebrew word shalom, which is often used as a greeting or a salutation, peace to you. And there's several different connotations that come along with that, several different interpretations you can use based on the context, but most of them refer back to kind of a state of being present, especially when it comes to our salvation. This state of assurance that God is with us no matter what else is going on in the world around us. And that's the kind of peace I'm wanting to focus on this morning. But for me, when I start talking about like a state of being, and if you look at the Greek, that eirene is a noun, and so it kind of just is, it's a thing. I'm more of an action guy. I don't know about you guys. I'm more of an action guy. I'm like, okay, but what do I do with that? How do I structure my life, my habits, my disciplines to be a place where peace can reign, like we sang today? And so I look back at the story of Mary and that Holly read today, because I think it is a great representation. I also think Pastor Brian assigned it to me, but I think Mary's story of receiving the call that she is going to be the earthly mother of the Son of God says something about how we live our lives in such a way that we can be at peace. And so I want to go back and I want to kind of revisit that story piece by piece. See what I did there? It's a wordplay. Don't worry. So in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, Mary's response to that is Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I can imagine. Obviously, I wasn't there. I've never had this moment where an angel literally shows up in the physical and is giving me some instructions from God. But I can imagine as that is happening, Mary's like, "Oh boy. What is about to happen to my life?" Because to be honest with you, when God shows up, nothing's ever the same. God shows up, he speaks to us. Life gets radical. It doesn't go back to, "Hey, you're doing awesome." You just kind of stay, you know, in your happy little life. It's something big's about to happen. And so Mary's troubled by this, as I'm sure most of us would be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." So it's interesting. Mary's first response is she's greatly troubled. Second response is she asks some follow-up questions. She says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." There is a critical component missing to the baby process. How is this going to happen? For me personally, I think it is okay to ask God questions. I think God is big enough for our questions. He's big enough for our eye rolls. He's big enough for our conversation. But when I read this, what I'm hearing from Mary is that she is more so, instead of trying to get out of what God is saying, is more really clarifying what God is saying. And this comes through conversation. And so for me, when I'm talking about peace, when I'm thinking about peace and how we structure our lives, get ourselves in a place where we can be a person of peace, it begins with conversation. It begins with hearing God clearly. I think a lot of us hear God, but we don't recognize his voice. I think a lot of us hear God, but it is so drowned out with all of the other things happening in our lives, all of the distractions, all of the noise. You know, God's voice is referred to as the still small voice. And so when we are seeking his will, we have a hard time actually hearing it when he comes back to us with it. And so Mary is seeking to hear God's voice clearly. I don't see this as a moment of doubt. I don't see this as a moment of God can't do it. I see it as a moment of, I don't know how this is going to happen. Could you please clarify for me? And so the angel responds to that. And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." So first, when we're looking to be a person of peace or to experience peace, we have to hear God clearly. We have to recognize his voice so that way we can respond appropriately. Once we know that, once we hear God's voice, here is Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. So Mary hears God's voice, and then she submits to God's will. Guys, I will be completely honest with you. There is no other way to experience true everlasting peace in our life if we do not submit to God's will. In fact, if we look back at that Greek word, eirene, the root word of it, eiros, is actually a verb, and it says to join or to bind something that has been separated. I'm getting the head nod from Dave. He's my amen guy. I always have one in church. He's like, mm-hmm. So when I think about that root word, that verb, is in this moment, Mary is choosing to join with God's purpose, with his plan, with his will, or to bind herself to that, because for so long humanity has been separated from God. And so she is surrendering her will to join into God's will in this moment. And this is tough. Let's not overshadow the cultural context that Mary is living in this moment. She is probably historically in her late teens, maybe. She is engaged to be married, but she is a virgin. And so she is planning over the next 9 months to show up to family get-togethers and to be out in society as this pregnant woman who is not married. That has significant cultural context, and all of the pressure that comes along with that, all of the questions, all of the looks. I mean, do you know, like, holidays are coming up. Like, when you mess up or when you do something stupid throughout the whole year and you show up to a family get-together and they kind of look at you like, that's what Mary's signing up for the next 9 months / 30 years until Jesus reveals himself as the Messiah. And so Mary is not just signing up for, oh yeah, I'm going to have a baby. She is signing up for a lot of dirty looks. She is signing up for she is signing up for what could be punishable in those days. And yet, she has heard God clearly, and she has surrendered her will to God's will. She is giving up the perfect life that she thought she was going to have. Oh, I thought I was just going to get married to Joseph, and we were going to have our own kids, and we were going to live this quiet, normal life here in Nazareth. No, she is giving all that up for God's will in this moment. So the question we ask ourselves is, if we want to experience peace, what are we willing to give up? What part of our own desires, what part of our own will, what part of our own ideas are we willing to surrender in order to join or to bind ourselves to the will of God? If we are attempting to serve two masters, read the book of James. It's probably the best critique of people that try to serve two masters. It does not work. If we are still trying to meet all of our own needs, all of our own wants, all of our own desires, and trying to give a little bit to God's will, it does not work, and ultimately it's not pleasing, and we're not going to experience that inner peace. And so we hear God's voice clearly, and then we submit to his will. I want to take it one step further. I'll be honest with you, I never know how long I'm going to preach. Holly's probably over there. Just drag it out a little bit, but I'm not going to do that to you. I want to take it one step further, and this is why I was really excited to be here this morning. Because right after, it says in verse 39, we didn't read this one this morning, but right after that, it says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now, in our main verses today, we heard about Elizabeth. She's now 6 months pregnant with who will be John the Baptist. A little spoiler alert for you. And so, but this is a miracle birth in and of itself. See, she is older in age. She was never supposed to be able to have kids, but God has blessed her. And so now we're seeing this even quote-unquote bigger miracle of Mary's never been with a man, and she's going to be pregnant and give birth to the Son of God. And so right after she hears that, right after she hears God's voice clearly, right after she submits to his will, she then takes off and heads to Elizabeth's house. Now, I have my theories about why she would do this. My theory is when we take these steps to be a people of peace, to experience that peace, we want to be surrounded by people who are going to understand it. So she takes off and goes and sees Elizabeth, who has experienced her own miracle. Elizabeth is overjoyed, and the Holy Spirit comes upon her, and she speaks into Mary's life. But as I was reading this, I realized and I was thinking, community is so important. When we surrender our will to God, when we become God's people, it is imperative that we surround ourselves with other people who are of like mind. Now, I am not saying that we don't exist in the world, that we don't evangelize and we don't engage with people who haven't come to know Christ yet, but what I am saying is there is something important. There is something great. There is something biblical about doing what is happening right here today, of coming together with people who are going to understand what you have just signed up for. Guys, when Holly and I came here 2 years ago, we really just came here. Well, we sent our daughter here. We sent our teenager here. Because, quite frankly, it's hard to find a church that has a youth group on Sunday nights anymore. And so we were attending a smaller church nearby. Holly was leading the youth group on Sunday mornings, but we wanted our daughter to have like a more robust youth program. It was great, and she loved it. And she convinced us to come try it out. And what God did in that timing was amazing. We were already having conflict at our other church. I won't get into all of that. But when we got here, it was amazing what God was already preparing in this community for us. For those of you who are unaware, Holly and I are licensed foster parents. And so our life can be complicated, to say the least. And to find a church with a culture that not only is okay with complications, with complicated life, but embraces them is unheard of. To have a pastor, we show up, and Pastor Brian has had experience in foster care, Pastor Josh has had experience in foster care, Mara and Ryan are having experiences in foster care, and, you know, let's not even talk about the Green family and the experience that comes with that, the uniqueness of this church. But even before that, God was preparing us for this community and this community for us. Holly and I, may not realize this, both went through Thad Hicks's disaster management program at OCU when he was still there, before he left for Mount Vernon, which some of you may refer to as Mecca if you are a diehard Nazarene. And then in our early days, I love telling this story. In our early days of fostering, we had this little girl. She was 6 years old. She was mixed. And so her hair, man, all over the place. And we worked through it. Well, Holly had to work. And so every so often, she would leave me as a single parent for a couple days because she worked in Northern Kentucky at the time. Don't ask me how that worked out. And so I woke up one morning and was sending the kids out to school. And this little girl was like, my hair. I'm like, oh, yeah, it doesn't look good. So I almost got the vacuum out. I don't know if you've ever seen that video on Facebook, but I grab this afro and I just take it tight as I can, throw a little rubber band around it. It's over to the side of the head by the time she leaves. It was nuts. She comes home and her hair is perfectly bundled. And I asked, how did your hair get like that? Well, Mrs. Wilson did it for me. And so when we came to this church, there was a community that God had already put in place for us. As this summer, I might actually start tearing up on this one. This summer, as we were in the process of moving to Urbana, so that way my parents could move in, as my mom is going through cancer treatments, as life just feels like it is overwhelming, I remember a night we had to be out of our house. It was like going to be midnight by the time we were done. Holly and I started calling people, and we're like, hey, our kids are at their max. They have no more emotional capacity to help us. And three families in this church said, bring them on. And so Holly and I got to do what we needed to do. But that is just one example of what community looks like. When you want to be a person or a people that is dedicated and seeking out this internal peace, I can't imagine doing it without people who are with you, who understand it, who love you, and desire to be a part of that journey with you. And if you feel like you can do it without all of that, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, but you are. And so my recommendation is to seek that out. And so what we have found through the story of Mary, hearing the voice of God clearly through the angel, responding in surrender to God's will, and then surrounding herself with people who are going to empower, embolden, embrace her. It is not that life is going to be easier. I think that's where we get peace wrong, is we pray for peace, but really, I think a lot of times what we're doing is we're praying that the circumstances around us will get easier to manage. It never gets easier to manage. It never gets where nothing's going on in the world. Nothing's happening in my life. Everybody's getting along. But what that does when we are fully surrendered to the will of God, when we are fully hearing what God has to say, and when we are surrounded by people, the things going on outside of us, the volume comes down. And we're able to tune in to what God has for us, for our families, for the world around us. And that is when real change happens. Is when the people of God become at peace and the world around us sees it. So stand with me this morning. I'm going to close out. I want to pray over us. The altars are always open, but I want to pray over us because maybe this morning you're hearing God tug on your heart for the first time. And you're not quite sure if it's his voice. It's unfamiliar. It's new. I want to pray for you that you can become tuned into what he is saying for your life. Maybe you've never even experienced the wonderful work that is salvation in your life. The free gift that God has given to spend an eternity with him. The entire reason we celebrate the Christmas season. I want to pray for you today. Maybe you've heard God's voice clearly, but you're scared. Mary was scared. Maybe you're a little hesitant to surrender that piece of your life, that will, that dream, that desire to serve God's ultimate purpose. I'm going to pray for you this morning. And maybe you have surrendered, but you haven't found that community of people who are going to love you and support you and care for you. I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, seeking your peace. Not the fleeting moments of clarity. We're not out here chasing fireflies, hoping that we just get a little bit of light trapped in our jar. But Lord, we want true, sustainable peace that can only come through a relationship with the Prince of Peace. Lord, in this moment, no matter where we are in our faith journey, whether we haven't even started it yet, or whether we're years into the road, Lord, we want to hear your voice clearly. Teach us to drown out all of the other noise, all of the busyness, all of the anger, all of the emotions that would cloud our world, that overwhelm us, so that way we can hear your still small voice. And Lord, when we hear you, when we hear your call, when we are guided to a place, when we are given a mandate to serve your kingdom, Lord, let us be like Mary. Whatever your will is, God, I'm in. And Lord, I'm going to pray a prayer of gratitude this morning, that whoever's here has found themselves among your people. They have found themselves with a community, with a group that is about you. But Lord, if they are hesitant to embrace that community, to jump into that community, let them go seek it out as fast and as hard as they can. Because in that community, we can find peace. So Lord, for every person walking out of here today who has heard your word, who is sensing your presence in their life, let them find peace at the center of your will. Lord, I pray all of these things in your sweet and wonderful name. Amen. Thank you all for coming this morning.